Hey everyone, welcome back to the Live Support Ops Hangout. This is the first one of the new year. We're really, really excited. I don't know if they are. I am, so that's always good. The other guys, I guess they can fake excitement if they're not. Anyways, it's Monday, January 6th. Like I mentioned, start of the new year. This is episode 28, if you're keeping count. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This is a weekly talk show focused on all things customer. So customer support, customer service, customer experience, all those good things. If you're dealing with customers, we're talking about it on the show. We're live via Google Hangout, just like this one, every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, and then all the rest of them, like I mentioned in previous shows, check your local listing, time zone, thingamadoogers. Before we get too far into the show, let's go ahead and introduce you to our awesome panel, just because they're awesome. We're gonna talk to them first. So, Chase Livingston from Automatic, how are things?
Cold, but very good.
No, we are not doing a weather show. This is what happens when people talk, like it gets cold somewhere and the internet just starts, it's like your back porch. They all of a sudden start talking about weather. And they're like, oh, what's negative 10 here? What have you got?
Yeah.
Oh, but other than that, you're good, right?
Yes. I'm currently warm, actually, so it's good.
And really the only guy who has any right to complain about the weather is the lovely Jeff Vincent from Wistia. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm much stronger now that I've been shoveling 16 inches of snow a day.
Wow.
Livingston, you little baby.
See, for the record, I didn't complain about the cold yet. At least not on air. Chase and I bitched about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Yep. Saw my first negative temperatures of the year. That was good.
Other than that,
I'm always good. You know that.
Cool. Well, so since this is the first show of the new year, we wanted to take a chance to kind of look out at customer service and customer support for 2014. You know, at the beginning of every year, it seems like everybody crawls out of the woodworks and wildly speculates on what's going to happen this year. So we're going to join the foray and we're going to do that and see how close we can get by the end of the year. But in seriousness, though, 2014, it is one of those, you know, the start of a new year is a good chance to kind of dream big and talk about what you want to do for the rest of the year and set those goals and then kind of just, you know, get in and do some new stuff, try some new things. And that's what we kind of want to talk about. On the show, we're talking about what we think are going to be big for this year, the things that we think are going to, you know, be big for customer support teams, things that you need to be thinking about, things that you need to be planning about, things that you need to be dreaming about, that kind of thing. So we're going to start first with Chase Livingstone. Chase, if you had to pick one support channel that you think is going to get bigger this year than it was last year, what would that one be?
Well, I know for us it's going to be live chat, and hope to see that from some other folks as well.
So why live chat? I mean, Automatic's big. They've got the resources to do just about any kind of thing out there that they want to do. Why is live chat going to be the big thing that you're trying this year?
It's been something that we've kind of toyed with, you know, in testing and stuff like that since probably the end of last year, November, December, things like that. And we've really honestly seen some pretty big success with it as far as, you know, user happiness and engagement and that kind of thing. So it's something that we're really going to try to push this year and see kind of where it goes and maybe what kind of ways it can help us out and helping our users a little better.
And Jeff, what's it going to be for Wistia? Are you going to try out live chat like Chase? And if Carolyn was here, she's sick. So you know, Carolyn, if you're watching, we're sorry. Get feeling better. Be back next week. But she's a big proponent of live chat too. Is that something Wistia is going to give a shot this year?
No. No, I don't think we're going to do that this year. Although to answer your original question, like what channel do I think is going to grow overall across all teams? It's probably something live, right? Because the pendulum's swinging towards this Mayday, right? The Amazon thing, like everything's getting closer and closer to live. We're actually swinging, I think. So we just had our big 2014 kickoff meeting, and I think we're going to swing more in the direction of the Know Your Company stuff from 37 Signals. We're going to swing more in the direction of understanding the relationships we're building and try to be a little bit more proactive about engaging some people that maybe would have slipped through the cracks before, right? We've moved to this place in terms of like the microcosm of Wistia. We've swung to this place where we're almost 100% automated. There is no sales process. And so I'd like to have a little bit of course correction now because we have the resources to do so in being a little bit more proactive and reaching out to some people who sign up and say like, what brought you here? What are the sort of the things that you're expecting out of us and how can we get better? A lot of that's been coming into the reactive, support inbox, mm-hmm. and we'd like to move a little bit more into the proactive arena.
So with live chat, that's pretty easy to hook up, right? You just find the tool and you pop a link on the page or embed the widget or whatever you need to do. With reaching out to customers like that, being more proactive there, how is the Wistia team going to achieve that? There's not like a tool out there really that you can just kind of pop onto your website and be like, all right, let's do this.
Well, I think that – so I guess I would say that for some of the most valuable things, there isn't a tool – there isn't a single tool that can help you do that. So maybe I hadn't thought about it that way, but maybe we're on the right track.
yeah, that's some deep stuff.
But what I think we'd like to do is build up some intuition around the type of business that's really happy and successful. Mm-hmm. And then we can build a better filter. So at the start, it's probably going to be giving as much information about everyone that signs up as possible. And then we'll be able to gradually whittle it down to a place where just by seeing a couple of like metadata, I suppose, for lack of a better term, about a recent sign-up, we can probably know whether to reach out. And mm-hmm. it's just going to be kind of trial and error from the start, I guess.
Yeah, so and kind of when you talk about that, the phrase that I kind of hear thrown around a lot is I'm not a fan of the phrase, but still, it is what it is. Anyways, it's big data, right? So you find out as much as you can about the other person, and then you use that data that you have, those metrics that you have, to kind of figure out where the problem spots they're going to have with your app are and how to minimize those, eliminate those, so that they have the best possible experience, basically, long story short. So you mentioned collecting as much data as you can up front about the person. Have you thought about ways that you're going to do that yet? Is that going to be something like when they go to sign up for Wistia, it's going to be, fill out these fields, that kind of thing?
Well, I think I'd like to avoid making them fill out any fields if I can. There are some services, the types of things where you sign up for a service and you get there and it's auto-populated with a bunch of your stuff, mm-hmm. and you're like, how did they know about all this stuff? And there are a couple of services out there now, where someone signs up, we can take that email and hit an API endpoint and get back like a bunch of data about them, right? And I that's mm-hmm. not going to be perfect, but it might be an easy and interesting starting point to just say like, this person, whatever, has this title at this company, and we'll start there. We'll just reach out to them and see what's going on and see if there's any questions we can answer for them. And, I think the point of all this is that we can locally optimize forever, right? We can just keep mm-hmm. making our product better and better and better. And that's like a really, really good goal to have. But in terms of knowing what's coming in the future and being able to identify other problems that we'd be a really good solution for, that's where a lot of this information is going to be. So it's almost like we're going to build a customer insights team mm-hmm. inside of our existing customer happiness team.
So Chase, when you hear companies that are doing things like that, that are kind of monitoring who you are with the information they can get, a good feeling from you, bad feeling? Is that something that as a customer you're excited that Wistia would have the ability to do that?
I guess it's kind of half and half. I mean, I think in a way it's, helpful and would be kind of interesting, but then again, it seems a little, I don't know, sketchy or however you want to say it to me, but I think overall it would probably be a good experience as long as it wasn't used by the company in an extremely creepy way.
Yeah, and Jeff would never use it in a creepy way.
No, of course not.
Well, I might, but the rest of my team luckily is not.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of those where, and I have seen it done well before. I was using a website over Christmas to do some holiday shopping and that kind of thing. I signed up, and I guess they looked at my Twitter feed or Facebook or something like that. I'm not really for sure where, but they instantly pinged in on the fact that that I liked a couple of products. Like, I liked whiskey, especially Tennessee whiskeys. I liked anything zombie-related, I guess, because I was talking about, like, Walking Dead or something like that. So they offered up a recommended buyer's list, which is really cool. You know, it helps me it helps me zone in on the certain things that I would like to buy rather than just looking at aisle after aisle after aisle of all these products. So I can get that. Yeah, so Jeff, I guess the question is, you know, how, for somebody that's new to trying something like this, maybe they're like a smaller shop, they don't have a full team behind them like you do, what kind of guidelines would you give them for staying out of that like creepy zone? That's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it creepy zone.
Well, you know, we're very early in this, so I don't know that I have any of the answers or all the answers, but in the past, we used to send an email to every single person that signed up saying, hey, we should chat, and the email was one of those ones that appeared personal, like as if a real person wrote it, and we had like created all this logic so that you would only get it during business hours and all these things, and we got a decent response rate from that, but it was very scattershot, right? It was it was shotgun style, and that at this point would be like almost impossible to handle. We don't have the resources to take a conversation with everybody, and we can't invite a conversation from everyone if we can't handle it, right? We just can't do that. But the only way for us to build up a really good intuition around who we should talk to is probably by looking at everyone who signs up at first and then slowly getting better and better. So, for example, 37 Signals is a customer, but if they weren't and we saw someone from 37 Signals sign up and we really respect their products, we'd probably reach out and just, you know, bug them for some feedback, right? We just get the conversation started about what they wanted to accomplish, why they came to us, you know, what was interesting, what was frustrating, just building a better relationship with people that we really admire, I think is a really good way to push us forward. Because then when we do something that we're kind of like, I don't know if that was so good or not, we can rely on our, you know, our friends and the relationships we've built to come back to us and say, yeah, that was not so hot. We also believe that where we have the opportunity right now to sort of ramp up I'm going to put air quotes around sales, but our sales process. We don't do any sales right now. Everything is 100%, you know, I'm going to say 98% automated. People sign up, they check out the product, they click a purchase button, they're done. But we know that we could probably ramp up growth faster if we had a ton of people hitting the phones and doing all the things that sales organizations do. And we don't want to do that, but I think there is a middle ground that says we could do better at presenting information to people if we started conversations with them and understood what it was they were looking for in the first place, right? A lot of the friction right now is just maybe we're not answering all the questions we should be answering. So in order to get to a place like that, we need to do more research.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, a really good way to respect your customer and the fact that, you know, the customer's got a problem that they're looking for an answer to, and they're looking at Wistia or Automatic WordPress or Basecamp or anything else. The more time they have to spend figuring out if it's the right product, that's less ideal, I guess, for lack of a better word, right? So you want to find out their problem and tell them really quickly, is your product going to be a good fit? If it is, that's great. If it's not, that's fine. You know, here's some other products to check out. So yeah, I'm a fan of that approach for you and for Wistia and all that. Just, you know, one of those like, don't get creepy, which will be fine. I want to swing back a little bit to Chase and Automatic there with the live chat. So with live chat, why do you think it's going to be a big thing in this coming year? Why is it something that other companies, other support teams should be looking at, saying yes, we need to be doing this?
Well, you know, just in the kind of the data and the feedback we've gotten from users, it seems to be really popular with them, and they really like the interactions that they've had with us, and you know how quickly that they can, you know, usually get their issue resolved over live chat. So, you know, and for me personally, I always enjoy if there's, you know, a live chat option available with a company that I'm working with, at least trying that first. And, you know, even if maybe I can see that the issue is going to take a little longer, or maybe need a phone call or an email or something like that, at least, you know, I've tried the live chat and gave it a shot so that if it is a quickly resolvable issue, I can go ahead and get that done.
Now, one of the things we've talked about on the show before is kind of, again, geared toward like smaller teams, right? Because there are lots of our audience and the viewers on the site and everything else, readers is a better word there, on the site, sorry. They tend to be smaller teams. So when you're looking at live chat, you know, Chase, what kind of is your bottom, like, what's the minimum amount of people that you think a team would need to really do live chat right?
So right now we're doing it with, you know, full time we're doing it with 3 people on live chat. So I would say, you know, depending on your user base and things like that, you know, that you could scale that down or up. But for us, we've been testing it with kind of a small subset of WordPress.com users. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, turned on for, you know, all 50, 60 million, however many there are. But right now we're doing it. I don't have the numbers of exactly how many users we're showing it to off the top of my head, but we're doing it with 3 people, and you know we stay pretty busy, but we're able to manage the flow pretty well.
And with those 3 people, that's 3 people doing live chat, nothing but live chat through the day, right?
Right.
And on average, how many conversations are you handling at any given time, like simultaneously?
Usually no more than 3. We try to keep it to 3 at a time, but sometimes if it's, you know, one you can tell is kind of easy, you can let another one come in, and so maybe do 4, but we try to keep it to a maximum of 3 at a time.
And since there is kind of we talked about the kind of off-the-shelf kind of plug-and-play stuff earlier, there is a tool for live chat. Can you tell us which one you're using, just so we can kind of like...
Yeah, we're using OLARC.
OLARC. All right, mm-hmm. So OLARC.com on that one. And those guys are great. Ben's great over there. So if you're going to try it, that's the same one I would recommend.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, when we're looking at this year coming up, do you think are there any kind of support channels or support ideas that are going to fall in popularity, things that aren't going to become quite as popular as they were last year? Not to put you on the spot, you know?
I think the phone's going to continue to fall. Personally.
Really? Okay.
I mean, we've seen it. I think, yeah, you know, I think we'll continue to see it because there are these other options that are, well, it's a two-sided problem. The first side is technology means we can have more instantaneous, you know, synchronous type of communication like live chat, like screen sharing, which is like even higher bandwidth than phones. That sort of thing. Then the other side of the problem is we're going to see a lot, I think, Carolyn will disagree, but I think we're going to see a lot of teams that are going to try to push for getting more of their own bandwidth. And when you look at the bandwidth problem for an individual support team, like the big time suck is getting sucked into these phone calls, and I mean live chats in the same bucket, but getting sucked into things where you cannot define when it begins and ends and you can't necessarily get out of it. That is that when we looked at the problem, that was the biggest bottleneck that needed to be solved was when we're looking for the team to pitch in and contribute to other things, if they get on the phone, that the whole day could be dashed.
Right.
And that is really costly. So, yeah, I think the costs around the phone are going to mean that more teams will not implement it or will go from using it to not using it as much.
What do you think, Chase? You agree that phone's going to be the one there that kind of falls in popularity?
Yeah, I think probably at least around the, you know, the folks that we're reaching out to here with the podcast, phone's probably going to definitely fall in popularity, maybe even among, you know, some companies that you would generally think of as having phone support. So we'll see. And I mean, for us, we're trying to even minimize email support. We're kind of pushing more for live chat and or kind of private forum type interactions with our users, private or public. But, you know, obviously if there's sensitive information, we want that to be a private forum ticket.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about forums, that's kind of the one thing that WordPress has done really, really well. Like, the public forums are really great there, and you can find the answers really easily and that kind of thing. Is that something, you know, I'm guessing yes on here, but, you know, since I have to ask, that's something Automatic's going to continue for this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're probably going to even push more for trying to move, you know, conversations that would be email over to either public or private, you know, forum tickets. Just easier for us to, in our workflow, to track those and to kind of work with those in that way.
So you mentioned tracking it and working with them. What's the real big advantage you see moving those customers over to the forums? Is it just that, you know, those answers become searchable and that kind of thing, or is it something else that's going on there?
Yeah, so they become searchable, and you know, a lot of the emails we see are just, you know, replies to, you know, notifications and stuff we send out. So trying to get those users to use the contact form so we can gather some more information up front rather than having them just, you know, blindly email us, and then we have to, you know, go back and ask for all the information we need from them. So something that we're working on, and you know, obviously we're encouraging users to try to, you know, search for answers to their questions before they even have to contact us with our pretty extensive, you know, support docs and the public forum questions that have already been answered. So just trying to encourage users to maybe try to do a little bit more work on the front end rather than just reaching out immediately.
Now, Jeff, this is something we've talked about with Wistia before, and kind of directing customers toward those resources first. We talked a little bit last time about how Wistia has redone their website in an effort to do that. So do you think that Automatic here and WordPress in general is on a good course? I mean, are forums something that more teams should be looking at?
I think it depends on your size.
Yeah, feel free to bash Chase. It's fine.
No, I'm not bashing Chase. I think that WordPress is certainly in the category where a forum makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you said earlier about a lot of the folks who, you know, listen to us babble on and get value out of what we're talking about are probably smaller teams, which I tend to be, or I assume to be, a proxy for smaller user bases, smaller companies. Mm-hmm. A forum is going to be really tough, because it turns into a ghost town, and it's kind of like moving support from one place to another, mm-hmm. right? In WordPress's case, they probably have some people who are really knowledgeable on the WordPress platform that jump in because they're crazy people. I don't know. They just want to help. They're not paid in any way. They just want to contribute. They want to give back. And for someone who's just starting out, you know, for a company that's fairly small, they're not going to have a lot of that. Instead, it's going to be people who, you know, they're demanding some sort of feature, or they want to complain about your pricing or something like that. Like, they're going to take to that vehicle to let people know that they're not pleased with something else that you're doing. And there isn't a lot of other voices to drown them out. So no, I think early on you would just be shuffling support from one place to another. I think there's also certain things that you're not as comfortable going into depth in public as you might be in a private email, right? So an example of that is someone writes in to us and they say, hey, this part of your product, I got to tell you, it kind of sucks. It's really confusing. I'm really trying to get it right, but I haven't been able to figure it out. I've been banging my head on a wall, whatever. I might write back, and if it's part of the product that I don't really like either, I'll let them know that I do think we could do a better job, and that we will do a better, you know, maybe we have it on the plans to do a better job in 2014, and I'll say that. Whereas probably in a public forum, it would be a little bit, you'd probably be a little bit more on the defensive, because you would know that everyone for all of time would be able to read that forum post. So it can be a dicey thing. I guess it kind of depends on who you're going to be working with.
Yeah, that's one of those, you know, we had forums with 37 signals for a while, and those have been shut off now. And it was either a ghost town. You would see lots of questions where people weren't getting answers. And that's kind of a frustrating experience from a customer perspective, or B, it would be feature request, or I need a cheaper plan, and it would be nothing but comment after comment after comment of, me too, yeah, I would use this too, and that kind of stuff, which is kind of frustrating. So I always go back and forth. Forums have worked for WordPress and Automattic, and they have done great jobs there. I've seen forums work with different developer groups and programmer groups and that kind of thing. I think there's like a very specific target audience in there for those. And if you don't, like if your customer base isn't that target audience, then it just won't work. For Basecamp, there's no way we could pull off a good forum. At the end of the
day. I think it also depends on the type of service that you provide, I think, right? So, like, for us, video has not yet reached the level where, like, everyone has to have it, mm-hmm. right? We certainly see a future where everyone will have it. But, like, in WordPress's case, like, every business, if you're online and you're a business, you need a website. And, you know, WordPress is a really good option. So a lot of people are okay dedicating themselves to spending time in that forum because they know they have to have a website and they want to learn how to use it. In Basecamp's case, I mean, it's a project management tool. There are other project management tools. People have been managing projects since long before there was internet and computers. So if people are like, I need a forum to use this product, like I'm probably going to just use my whiteboard or whatever they were using before. And we're at this point in the same boat. We're not yet a every business must have. So it's more likely, I think, to be a ghost town than it is to be a wonderfully populated city of geeks.
Of devout WordPress users.
Exactly.
All right, Chase. Since you know the forums are part of your company now, that will give you the last word. Where do you think that those forums really do shine? Best case scenario.
We do like Jeff mentioned. We do have a lot of volunteers that are active in our forums and helping users, so that not every question necessarily has to have a response from a full-time employee, though we, as much as we can, try to do that. But I think it just really shines in users helping users rather than necessarily having to, contact somebody who actually works for the company. A lot of times some of the power users and the pros that really know what they're doing can help another user out, and then they maybe develop a connection and hopefully develop a relationship or something like that from there. So I think it's great to see users who are able to do that.
So the next kind of area I want to touch on, and this one will go Chase to you to start on this one. As we look out and look at other companies and how they're doing support and that kind of thing, and not just small companies. So think like Walmart and Amazon and Best Buy. Is Best Buy still around? I guess they are. I don't know.
I think so.
But kind of bigger retailers and bigger companies, not necessarily like online companies only. As we look out and look at all these companies, as a customer, what do you want to see more of this year from companies that you purchase products from?
For me, I would just like to see better support in general. The few times that I have had to contact somebody like that, for support, a big box store, and especially like a big box retailer, it's just not necessarily a great experience. The companies that are, mainly online and focused on online sales and that kind of thing seem to, have the support thing down, but companies that maybe aren't so focused on their online presence and therefore their online support just, feels very robotic and inhuman and that kind of thing when you try to talk to somebody, either on the phone or over email or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So Jeff, same question over to you. If you're looking at and you're looking at some of the favorite companies that you like to buy for, what's kind of the big thing that you want to see from them when it comes to customer service and customer support?
Well, I would probably say that the best support is no support. So I would love to see more companies hire people to actually take a look at the customer experience and find a way to just fix it. Instead of, right, like so many of the, I don't even know where to begin. So there are some of the really shitty ones, right? Like when you're paying your gas and electric bill, I don't know if you've ever looked at these websites. I don't think there's a worse website on the planet than some of these like gas and electric sites, right? And the experience just is horrible. But yet that's something you rely on every day. It would be great if they spent a little bit of money, right? If they spent $6,000 a month to hire somebody who just went through the user experience and improved it step by step. Then the other thing from the complete other side, people who are starting up new companies and have the chance to do whatever they want to do, I love the movement towards more simplicity. Companies that just do one thing, and I can hire them to just do the one thing. Because if it's one thing they do and they do it really well, I don't need to ask them a bunch of questions. I can just use the thing for what I want to do with it. I would love, that's certainly where we're trying to go, is like we're a fairly complex product technologically, but we'd love for it to be so intuitive and straightforward to get from where you start to where you want to be that you never have to ask us about workflow stuff. And the only time you have to ping us is when we broke something. And if we broke something, then I'm going to go to the ends of the earth to fix it for you. And then it's done. It's fixed. It's wonderful.
So you're saying Wistia should just worry about hosting videos. It shouldn't manage the project around them too.
I'm saying, I don't want to work myself into too much of a box here, but I want to say that we should be helping you improve your video marketing. Mm-hmm. But we should do so in such a way that doesn't require you to press a million buttons and flip a bunch of switches and check out this page that has 55 settings on it. And if you flip the wrong one, you're screwed because there's one of them that's the wrong one, right? We just shouldn't allow you to do that. And it feels like the gas and electric thing, I'm on there and it's like, I don't know what button I'm supposed to, they both say the same thing. And one of them says your electric's going off and it's like, oh, I better not click that one. There are too many people who have too many dark recesses on their website that have never been looked at and the user experience just drops off a cliff.
So, I could totally see my electric company having a turn my electricity off button saying do not touch this, but it's still being there.
I just want to press it. It's just a big red button. I just want to press the big red button. If you look at like Simple Bank, for example, they're taking all, Simple Bank versus Bank of America, they're taking all this legacy crap that came from like long before there was a website to do it, and they're just sweeping it all off the table. So they do a lot of the same things as Bank of America, but they do it – the way that you do it is much more intuitive and straightforward and doesn't require all this extra crap. So the more that we can aspire to that experience, I think the happier everyone's lives are going to be.
All right, so the last kind of big question I want to touch on, just again, and we kind of keep bringing it back up for the show, and it kind of is. I mean, small teams are the people that read the site, that watch the videos, and watch your Hangouts and that kind of thing. So if you're a small team and you're gearing up for this year and you're trying to think of, something new that you want to try, something, you've got email support down, you're able to handle that easily, that kind of thing. You're looking to get better at doing customer support. Chase, we'll start with you on this one. What would be your best advice for somebody that's in that situation that's looking for 2014 and saying, I want to get better at customer support, at the customer experience, I'm a small team. What would you say this is what you need to be working on?
I would say, for a small team like that, always work on improving your documentation. I mean, like Jeff said, honestly, I believe the best support is no support as much as possible. So, review your documentation, make sure everything's up to date, add as much new documentation as you can handle and as you think is necessary for your product, depending on, how complicated your product is. That way, hopefully users can try to help themselves before they even get to the point where they would need to contact you.
There's the best support is no support. We're going to do a show on that. We are. in the next few weeks or so, because it keeps coming up and up and up. Anyways, so yeah, I agree on that one. You know, your help docs are kind of like your first line of defense, right? That's the place where you want to answer as many questions as you can, especially as a small team. So, Jeff, same question over to you again. So, you know, small team, and they're looking at 2014. What's kind of your one recommended piece of advice for them to really nail coming this year?
Well, luckily, I don't have to say improve your first line of defense documentation because Chase already said that. But I, you know, one thing that we've done, and it has paid, it pays dividends every single day now, and the crazy thing is it only gets better and better, is empower your people, for lack of a better term. Like, everybody on the customer happiness team now, they have the ability to make changes to the product or to our website if they spot those change, if they spot changes that are needed. So I'll give you an example. We have this replace video tool in our accounts, and it means that you can you upload your video and you go to watch it and you realize that you misspelled someone's name. Mm-hmm. So you super quick, you make a new export of the video that fixes the name. So, you know, now it's like, instead of Clomens, it's Clemens. We fix the problem. You go and you're going to use replace video, because then you don't have to re-embed the video. It just replaces it in all areas. So we used to have this warning on there, because for older accounts, it wouldn't automatically replace the video in embedded instances. And somebody the other day, I can't remember who it was on the team, they said, like, what are older accounts? Like, how old? Like, what's legacy? I don't know what any of this stuff means. And it was from before their time.
Right.
So we had just thrown that warning in there, and it's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. So we could actually pinpoint the date at which, if you started an account after that date, you never would have had to see this warning. Mm-hmm. And so we now made the warning conditional. They went in there, they made the changes to make the warning conditional, and now people who are using that, who are new customers, and mm-hmm. there's far more new customers than there are old customers, they never have to look, they never have to spend the time looking at that warning. I cannot tell you, well, I literally can't tell you, because I don't want to give away our roadmap, mm-hmm. but we have a very long list of really, really tiny changes. The things that give people that little bit of mental friction that, it's the difference between after they're done using Wistia, they just want to lie down and put one of those ice packs on their head and like take a nap, or being done using Wistia and being like, I feel like $1 million, I'm going to go for a bike ride. Though we're going to keep making those changes. So I would say, you know, find ways to help your team learn new skills that will impact the customer experience, whether it's like better interviewing of your customers, or it's making changes to the product, or it's just learning how to be a product thinker, right? Like spending time with your head of product to learn like how they best learn new problems that they should be tackling in the product and that sort of thing. Whatever it is, just educating and spending a lot of time helping the people on your team learn, because you know, support emails are great and all, but fixing the problem before it becomes a support email is the far better solution.
There you go. And I, you know, even throughout all of that, I don't think either of you made any big promises that we're going to have to do a like whole, no, they really didn't mean that come December. So I think we'll be fine on that one. I think we're fine. So, that. You know, that brings us to personally my favorite part of the whole show. And the very first one that we're going to do for 2014, and Jeff's going to be ready on this one. I can feel it. It's this week's shout-outs. Your 2014 is your year, Jeff. I just know it.
I'm doing my best.
Oh, so, Chase, yeah, we'll start with you on this one. What's your first shout-out of the year?
So if you haven't been able to tell already, I really love gadgets and new gadgets. And over the holidays, I picked up a Pebble smartwatch.
Ooh.
And so I'm really enjoying it so far. I've had it, I guess, for about 2 weeks now, and wearing it every day and that kind of thing. So Really enjoying it. I didn't wear a watch for a couple of years, probably, until I got this thing. But I found that the kind of the things that it provides me are, you know, outweigh the benefits of not wearing a watch. So, and it's, you know, relatively stylish. So you can get away with wearing it with just about anything.
You're the man now. You're all styling and profile.
You're the man now, dog.
It sounds more convincing from Jeff than from me. So,
yeah.
Jeff, what do you got for us?
I really hope that I haven't already given him this shout out, but there is a fellow by the name of Samuel Hulick who is running a website called useronboard.com. And he's writing a book. He's working on a book, and the name of this book is I have no idea what the name of this book is. Anyway.
It's his book. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's not my book. He has been doing a series of onboarding teardowns where he looks at the onboarding for various services. I have this deja vu feeling like I gave him a shout out before.
Yep. Did I really?
Yep.
Okay, well then, Samuel, that's enough shout out for you. Let's shelve that one. And let me tell you another story, because I have a backup one.
Oh, we come prepared with a backup one.
Yeah. Okay, so right before the break, I was struggling with my attention. As you can tell, I'm a person that's kind of always running caffeinated and ready to, like, Kool-Aid man through a wall. and I was having extraordinary problems with, like, my deep thinking time. I was having trouble sitting still and really thinking about things. And so I found this website and accompanying app called Calm. I think the website is calm.com. Nice. But anyway, you can – it's like a really easy way to get into some meditating exercises. And I did it for 2 days where I took 2 5-minute breaks during the day. 5 minutes. That's like nothing at all. And I felt a substantial difference in my ability to just be like, okay, let's focus in for a second. I'm listening to what you're saying. And not have to get up in the middle and be like, gotta take a scooter ride. So if you're someone like me who you kind of gradually work to this place where you're like, work for 10 minutes and then like run around the office for 10 minutes and then come back and work again, I suggest just trying it out because I don't know, you may feel ridiculously measurable differences.
You do look a little calmer than before the break, so.
Well, thank you. I also got everyone gifts this year. I actually made it so that everyone got gifts before Christmas, and that is a huge source of stress for me.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Oh, my shout out for the first time of the year. Oh, look at that.
Gave myself a clap. All right, Chase, you're up.
Oh, a little part of me just died because I thought that was for me, but.
Oh, Chase.
No, I'm just messing.
That was for you, my friend.
Oh, my shout out for the year is if first off, I'm a huge hardcore like J.J. Abrams fan. So I think Lost, Almost Human, that kind of thing. He's a great director and just really creative as a person in general. So anyways, for Christmas, I got his new book, S. He wrote it with a guy, Doug Dorst is his name. And it's phenomenal. Like, I don't want to ruin anything about it and tell you, like, how it is and what's in it and that kind of thing. Just trust me. If you're a fan of J.J. Abrams, if you're a fan of Lost or Almost Human or the new Star Trek or anything that he's done, I really think you'll like this book. It's almost like everything that you love about Lost just in a book about a different story. So I'm 2 chapters in so far because it's a very dense read. I have to sit there and really think about it as I'm reading it, which I really appreciate. But yeah, so I'll put the link in the show notes, and if you're Abrams fan at all, definitely pick up the book. So with that, this Hangout's in the books. We started off 2014 really well, I think. You know, pretty great for this one, right, guys?
I don't miss Carolyn at all.
Oh,
just kidding. I miss Carolyn.
See, I don't know if she goes back and watches the shows that she's not in, so I don't know if she'll hear that. So
nah, she definitely doesn't. You wouldn't have made it this far. She definitely wouldn't have made it this far. Let's put it that way.
Well, Carolyn, if you are watching, get better. We'll see you next week because we've got some exciting, some really great topics coming up. Just to give our audience kind of a sneak peek, we are talking about some of the things we talked about in the show today. We're talking about how to empower your support team, how to give them things that the tools and things that they need to do their job better. We're also talking about the idea of the best support is no support, because I've got a couple of bones to pick with that one, even though some of our panel are just really, really gung-ho for it. So those are some shows that are going to be awesome that are coming up. You know, we've got a really great new year and really great new shows and everything else. And again, we're just glad that you stuck with us. So anyways, I'm Chase. And until we see you again next week, have an awesome week.